Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Today, we want to spotlight one of our talented coaches, Joe Sullivan. In 2018, he started investing in duplexes in Kansas City. Shortly after, in February of 2020, he joined the Jake and Gino community and has since gone into multifamily full-time, scaling his business to 1,400-plus units owned and self-managed in the Midwest. He is passionate about giving back to the community that helped him get his start in multifamily investing, and we are honored to have him back on the show. Welcome to the show, Joe Sullivan.
Gino, great to see you. It wasn't too long ago that we hung out in Ireland, so awesome to see your smiling face again.
Joe, that week in Ireland, it wasn't too smiling the whole time, was it? There was a little bit of pain involved in that week. Let's share with the listeners, and this is, let's start here before we get into your background and everything. One of the reasons why I created Jake and Gino, one of the things that I love, it's a privilege to be part of a community. And we had the privilege and I think the honor to go out to Ireland, 9 couples from Jake and Gino, and we're able to spend a week with Phil McKernan, who's going to be coming at MM6. And it was really about couples coaching, because ultimately everyone who joins the community, it's all about legacy wealth, legacy building, creating an impact. But sometimes we forget about our significant others. And I think the 9 couples, all of us there, really wanted to reconnect the couples and work with Phil and work on our past, work on our present, and work on our future. And it seemed as if we all had an amazing time. Phil's castle, the hiking, all the exercises, we're drawing stick figures. I mean, give a highlight of what you thought about the weekend and how it impacted you and Tanya.
Yeah. Like you said, it was, the community is more than just, investing, you know, in multifamily. You guys bring in the family aspect. So we had the opportunity to join you and Julia and the other couples you mentioned. And actually I had Ireland on my bucket list to visit. So it was like, holy smokes, I gotta do this. and it was incredible too, because Phil and his wife who hosted it, you know, they're amazing hosts. And my wife and I were able to really dig deep and learn a lot about each other. You know, I learned a lot of things that I didn't realize. I didn't know about myself, and likewise with her. And you know, we've become closer and fully expect to, you know, to carry over, you know, a lot of things we learned, and you know, and we had fun too. I mean, who doesn't like to go visit someone's castle? It was pretty, pretty cool, man.
Joe awesome. Is missing out the best part. He's an Irish jig dancer teacher from what I know. We're at a restaurant, and these guys are just amazing musicians. I mean, it's just in the different experiences. We played Gaelic soccer. We played, I think, a game called the hurler. I mean, all these different experiences to elicit emotions. And I remember, like, he's like, Joe's a teacher, and Joe's like looking panicked, and we all went outside, all the couples, all of us. And let me tell you, that was struggle, dude. What a tough dance, but a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, doing an Irish jig at a Irish pub on the side of the road in a small town in Ireland. Where else are you going to get experience that? That was incredible.
Joe, can I share a story with you? I haven't shared this with anybody. I might as well share it with you on the podcast. Let's right now of something that really impacted me on that week. And I want the listeners to think of themselves as I'm sharing this, because it was, as I'm there, we're at O'Loughlin's bar, and I'm a big Guinness fan, but man, drinking a Guinness and being able to pour one in O'Loughlin's bar in Ireland is just something special. We go outside right next to the bar. There's like this little pasture of grass. We're all sitting there and we're all having pizzas, and the whole crew is there. And I walk away and I'm looking literally at a cow who's staring right at me. Yeah, there's a cow there staring at me. And I'm just reflecting upon the week, and I'm drinking my pint of Guinness. And Phil comes over and he says to me, "Hey, Gino, how you doing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm great." He goes, "No, really, how you doing?" I'm like, "I'm okay." He goes, "No, really, how are you doing?" And I'm like, "You know, I wish I'd met you 10 years ago. I didn't really like myself 10 years ago. I didn't like where I was 10 years ago." And I started breaking down. And all of a sudden, I realized something that I didn't know. I had anger inside of me over certain things and certain relationships, and being able to explore those emotions. And we said during the week, Joe, sit with it. I think with our emotions, I don't want to say just men in general, but a lot of us men out there, have an emotion and we try to bury it or we try to get rid of it. We don't try to work with it. We don't try to sit through that emotion. And I'm sitting there and I'm describing my emotions of how I left New York, how I it felt like I ran away. I abandoned people and I have anger over that. And there's nothing wrong to be angry about it. But when you bury that emotion and all of a sudden you're making decisions for the future of your of what you're trying to accomplish based on that anger and based on maybe those negative emotions, it may not be the best thing. And I remember sitting there, you know, crying. And then I turn around, and I look at the cow and that cow is like looking at me going, "Hey, bro, what'd you think? You're talking to Phil fucking McKernan. Of course he's going to listen to some emotions." And I really think the cow is talking to me. I'm like, "Dude, why didn't you tell me? Why did you tell me not to talk to the guy?" But I mean, ultimately, it was just, I don't know, an amazing experience for me because I never, not that I never dived through it, but I didn't know that I had anger in certain areas of my life. And then all of a sudden, be able to just talk to somebody else about them and be open and honest and say, "Yeah, you know what? I can work on that relationship. It's not only that person's fault. I have to take ownership in it," and looking at it in a different light and continue to sit with it for the next couple of weeks and continue to stew and not take action. Because the thing I love about Jake and Gino, we're all there. We're going, "Okay, we figured it out. Now let's take action. Education times action equals results." We all want to jump into it, where most people who go there, he was telling me, are just like sitting there. They're not what to do. So I think that was my highlight there, just understanding that emotion, that anger that I have, being able to work through it, being able to look into my past, not live there, but check the past out, see how I can work with those emotions, take it to the present, and now what's going on in my present life, and try to build a future self. That's what that week was all about. Joe, do you have anything that sticks out with you, any stories that stick out with you from the week?
Well, aside from, you know, pouring the pint of Guinness at the pub, that was incredible. And, you know, playing soccer, that was pretty fun. And just being there in nature. I think what you said though, like, you know, I'm guilty. I don't share my emotions with, you know, with anybody really, or I haven't much. But there have been definitely some things that have been coming to light after the week. You know, like you said, I've been really processing it. And my wife and I, we talked yesterday about some things that from my past that are kind of coming to light. And really, I'm excited because it's helping me understand why I do things the way I do now. And more importantly, how I function with current relationships with my children, my mm-hmm. parents, my wife, you know, just in business partners, and just it doesn't mean I necessarily need to change things. I probably will change some things, but I have awareness now. And like you talked about being your future self and just being aware of how you're reacting to certain situations and what triggers you have.
And the reason why I'm sharing this with all the listeners right now, if you're listening out there, you may be saying, "Well, I thought this was a multifamily show. We're going to dive into cap rates." And that's important. I want to share Joe's journey because, listen, Joe joined 18 months later. He quit his job. So, I mean, he was one of the top paid janitors in the state. I was at once one of the top paid dishwashers and busboys in the state of New York. So if a busboy and a dishwasher and a janitor can do it, then you listening out there, you can do it as well. But I think what encompasses Jake and Gino is it's about the community. It's about the networking. It's about the accountability, having someone hold you accountable and calling you on BS and saying, "Oh, I can't do that," or "I can't reflect on that. And it's that person's fault." Having ownership. Taking ownership is really, really important, and being responsible and having that long-term mindset is what I think encompasses and embodies the Jake and Gino community. And for me, it was just an honor and a privilege to be out there to learn about everyone else, to figure out that we're all winging it and trying to get better. That's why you join a community, is to get better and to hear different perspectives. And if you're the same person you were 5 years ago, I feel sorry for you. It's really looking at yourself today going, "I hope in 5 years from now, I'm embarrassed of that person." Or I look at that person, I'm like, "Okay, I grew from that person and I'm able to learn from that person." Because 10 years ago, I am a shadow of what I am today. And meeting people like Phil and meeting different people throughout the Jake and Gino community and all the students and all that has allowed me to grow as an individual. But Joe, tell the listeners the background, how you got into multifamily, why, and what you were doing before multifamily. I sort of spoiled beforehand, but.
Yeah. So I had a job for 12 years right after school, and really was seeing and feeling the pinch, and, you know, people were being laid off around me. And started mm-hmm. looking for alternative sources of income, you know, just like a side hustle, I guess you would call it. So started investing and smaller assets, duplexes. I had a one partner, I still do, but I have a partner that invested in a couple, few of those with me. And then we did some on our own. We got to a point where we, my wife and I, we got to a point where we wanted to continue scaling. And you know, I really realized that I wasn't really making much money with them. I mean, I was making some, but not a lot. I was doing all the work. I was even mowing the lawns, you know, just stupid crap like that. And I actually had like this big aha moment. It was just kind of funny. I was mowing one of the lawns and I burnt my thumb on the carburetor, loading the lawnmower into the truck. And it was just like, you know, I remember driving home just cussing because I was bleeding and I was sweating and just cussing up a storm. I mean, if somebody would, I'm sure people driving by me were just like, what the heck's wrong with that guy? But yeah, that was, I mean, it was shortly after that, I did a ton of research. You know, I overconsumed podcasts and books and whatever I could find free online, and interviewed a bunch of different groups and joined Jake and Gino. That was about 3 years ago. Because I wanted to scale, I wanted to figure out how to do this from people who have, or where I wanted to be. You know, I saw where Gino was and Jake was and others in the community, and I was like, I want to learn how they're doing that. So,
Joe, in your story though, what's really cool about your story is you just proved my point. 5 years ago, you burn your finger on a lawnmower. You don't even recognize that person from 5 years ago, but you need to be that person 5 years ago to take the next step. Get out there, join a community, take out your lawnmower, be the I'm a guy, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Then you're gonna figure out like I'm a doesn't have to do all that. I'm a needs to start that way possibly, but I'm a doesn't need to end up that way. And 4 years ago, was it even, are you even recognizable where you were 4 years ago? How many units did you have 4 years ago when you started?
I think we got to like 20 units after a year and a half or so.
And you stop. That's the brick wall at 20 units, yeah. Correct? And you're like, how do I scale this thing? And since then, how many units have you accumulated? Have you done since then?
We have over 1,400 now. GP on.
That's massive. That's amazing, the amount of trajectory. And that's why you're one of the Jake and Gino coaches, because in that time period, you've consumed the content. You're buying right. You're managing right. You're financing right. You're an amazing market of Kansas City. You're doing all of the frameworks and all the steps you need to start buying these assets. And what I love about it is it's been pretty much organic. What were a couple of aha moments for you to be able to start scaling to get to that number? And for those of you out there, this is not about scaling and trying to get, this is about trying to figure out what your why is and why you're getting into multifamily. And I think that's really important. Jake and I, if we got 100 units, that was our goal. After we hit 100 units, we're like, what do we do now? So for those of you out there, set goals. But then as Joe's telling you, when these are some things that you can implement, they're not rocket science. If like, once again, a pizza guy and a janitor can do it, you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I actually, my first goal was 100 units. So like when I joined Jake and Gino, I wanted to get 100 units. And, you know, I obviously went blazed through that. But some aha moments for me were when I started, when I joined the community. My biggest limiting belief, I should say, was capital, just surrounding capital. I grew up very middle class family, you know, loving family, but just wasn't around a lot of money. So the idea of me buying an apartment complex was, you know, I was like, what the hell? Like how, just it sounded insane, you know, insane to me and my family. And So when I started,
let's stop right there. 1 second. I need to cut you off. Yeah. Keep that thought. But if you're listening out there and you have those same thoughts, behaviors are belief driven. If you believe that thought, what the hell am I getting? How can I even do that? You're not even going to attempt it. And I'm so thankful that Joe blew past that limiting belief and said, I have enough pain or I have enough desire to take to the next level. What do I need to do? Because people are out there. The first thing they think about, and one thing we learned with Phil McKernan is it's rarely ever time or money. Those are the two excuses that Joe and Gino and everyone out there likes to use, but those are rarely excuses. I don't have the money to get into multifamily. Not true. You don't have the experience, the knowledge, and the value to offer to get into multifamily. That has nothing to do with money. Money is the end result. You can syndicate deals. Joe is a master at creatively financing deals, so there's no money involved out of your pocket there, but there's a lot of skill. And time, I've got six kids. We homeschool our kids. Joe's got four kids. We don't have time either, but we find the time for the things that we value most. And valuing most for us in the Jake and Gino community, I think, Joe, is our own autonomy to be able to be our own bosses. So if you value that, time should not be an issue. For the next 3 to 5 years, you put your head down, you work your ass off. 4 years later, you've got 1,400 units and you're pouring a freaking Guinness at a Lachlan's. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
Right, Joe?
That's right. Yeah. 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 The time and the money thing is crap because you can always find the money. And the time, you make time. Like, you know, I had my W-2, I was buying apartments. So I worked extremely early and extremely late on the apartments and work W-2 during the day. So you I mean, if it's important enough to you, or like you said, if you're running from something like I was running from my W-2, I was trying to get the hell out of there. Then you'll make time for it. So I couldn't agree more on that. And what I said about,
you know, I hijacked the question because I asked you about the aha moment. So what are a couple of things that I guess the Jake and Gino community allowed you to do? I'm going to answer one. I think the Ecosphere and you being my brother, I'm going to give a big shout out to Mark out here. Mark, big shout out to him. I mean, there's high level people in the community. If you need to raise capital, you've got capital in there. If you need operators, there's operators in there. If you need people who are asset managers or who can underwrite or who are great at Excel, there's so many different people out there collaborating and wanting to do deals because multifamily is a team sport. You can't do it on your own. You can do 20 or 30 units on your own, but why do 20 or 30 units on your own? You could do 14 or 1500 collaborating with others and then start doing things that you find sole purpose or you find passion doing. So one of them, I'm going to steal your thunder on that, but I think is big shout out to my brother and to Chris Jackson and other people in the community, but a couple of aha moments from you.
Yeah. I mean, that was my big one was just once I got in the right group or in the right room, you know, and all my partners have been from the community. So like I've had a handful of partners. They've all been in Jake and Gino. That, you know, you find people, the like-minded people, who, you know, basically balance out your weaknesses. So for me, it was access to capital. And, you know, I met your brother, Mark, and he helped tremendously with that. So, and he helped, I mean, he just completely crushed my limiting belief with ability to find, to, you know, get the capital. So that was a big one. And then just the, you know, the idea of buying an apartment complex, like really just the mindset when you're around people who are closing 200 unit deals, like you go to a money mixer on a weekend and you talk, you know, you're having a beer with somebody and they're like, yeah, I just closed a 200 unit in Dallas. Or, I mean, that's an example. And they're like, you know, I'm looking at this person and I'm thinking, man, that they're not much different than me. 2 years ago, this person had a W-2 and they were doing, or maybe they even do have a W-2. But the point is that it definitely motivates you and makes you, you know, feel like, you know, it's within reach for sure.
I love that. So limiting beliefs. What are the things that you learn from Jake and Gino? Like give the listeners an idea of what your buy right criteria, what your strategy is for taking down deals. Because I know that your nickname is DTS, direct to seller. And that's great. You may be one finding deals, but there's people in the community that, hey, want to partner with you, want to joint venture with you. Those are people there. So what are you looking for? What's your market? What are you looking for? And how are you buying these properties?
Yeah. So now I'm looking for, so I live in Kansas City. So looking for deals in Kansas, Missouri. 50 units or bigger, typically. We've done smaller. So, but that's the target. 80s vintage, so built in 1980s or newer. Like direct to seller or off market. We have bought some on market, but typically the better deals are the ones that work are either off market or direct to seller. We love townhomes. If you can find townhomes, two beds. If you have majority two bedroom units with washer dryer hookups. That's a sweet spot for me.
And Joe, before we started recording, we were both excited about something and I want to share with you. I want you to share with all the listeners out there. Why is now the time? Why do they need to join Jake and Gino or any group? Why do they need to get into multifamily right now?
Well, now, for example, when I'm looking at deals now, I don't know the percentage, but it's massively less buyers are involved. There's people sitting on the sidelines waiting. And frankly, some people who just quit because interest rates doubled in the last, 12 or 18 months, interest rates have doubled effectively. So there's a lot less competition. And we're, you know, you and I both, Gino, are finding deals that are working with 6 to 7% interest rates. So just imagine when they do come down. They will come down. It's inevitable. It's the average cycle is 18 months for when interest rates will drop after they've increased. So they will come down. History does repeat itself. So when they do come down, just imagine if it's a 4.5 or 5% interest rate, what that does to your deal when you refi. So I think it's an incredible time to buy. It's challenging to find deals that pencil, but there's a lot less buyers involved. I listen to you a lot, obviously, Gino, and you talk about this. You feel like this is 2012 in that time frame. So this is like 10 years ago for you when you started buying. And I know you found some pretty incredible deals 10 years ago.
There's a lot of similarities, Joe. I think one thing is there's more capital floating in the market right now than there were. But I think the sentiment is similar. We've closed one deal this year that had creative financing. We had another deal under contract that had seller financing. So debt's starting to pull back. So all of a sudden, there's the opportunity. Rates are going up. The economy's starting to flounder like it was in 2012 or 13. We may never go back to that kind of pricing because rents were so suppressed back then. But the economy was so terrible. I think the only difference is that there's still capital in the market. But a lot of these deals are having problems. A lot of these LPs are not getting paid. So when this GP or this syndication group's going to raise capital, where are they getting the capital from? Not from their investor base because they're not getting paid. So that's why there's not as much demand for assets because they can't even take care of the assets that they have. And anyone who's bought a deal in the last 2 years on short term or bridge debt, it's coming due. That's going to be an opportunity as well. And if you've bought a deal in the last 2 years, those prices were elevated, thinking that rents were going to continue to escalate for 10% for the next 3 years. That may not happen. So, if you want to add any thoughts to that,
no, I think that's spot on. The bridge debt is going to be an issue for a lot of people. I'm already seeing some of it. I haven't seen it hit hard. Like I haven't seen like a massive amount yet, but definitely seeing deals come to my table that are bridge loans gone bad. So it's more coming for sure.
So Joe, why did you become a Jake and Gino coach?
I became a coach because I really wanted to help, give back to the community that did so much for me. It's very powerful. So for me, selfishly, I get a lot out of it. Like I get a high when I had a call yesterday with a student and I was able to add like one golden nugget to them because they're negotiating, they're under contract on a deal and they're negotiating because the seller misled them on some information in their due diligence. And so I had a recommendation on how to approach it. And they walked away and actually I got a text early this morning. And it was a very nice text, like, thank you. You really like help with my mindset on this and the best way to approach the seller. So like that in itself right there, that text message, like it gave me juice for the day. Like it's going to help me. It's like debits and credits. And I feel like if I give back to them, then I'm going to get it back tenfold.
It's really funny. I wonder how much money they saved. I mean, the education becomes basically free at that point. If you can save them 10 or 15 or 20 grand on a retrade or you can save them, for instance, a student had a deal in the contract that's 7% interest. I gave him a credit union of 5.8. All of a sudden, the education is free because he saved a point and a half on $1 million loan. You do the math after 16 months, that education of the mentorship, it's completely done, but you're surrounding yourself with amazing people. What you said, I think, to elaborate from why I love the coaching aspect of it is you're learning it. Joe Sullivan joined the community. He's learning the education. He's learning all of a sudden the second part is he's doing it. He's getting in there. He's expanding his portfolio. But Joe's the kind of person who wants to create impact. It's not just about getting money. Profit's the fuel. It's not the destination. And all of a sudden, the third part, he's sort of teaching it. But in the teaching aspect, all of a sudden, you're learning again. You're learning from your students and going, I never came up with that. Let's brainstorm this. And then the fact that Joe comes to a lot of the boot camps and hangs out and listens to Bill Hamm talk about market cycles or listens to Mikey T talking about a deal in Denver who's one of our coaches or just talks to a cost segregation specialist or has, equity investors and meets people who want to invest in his deal or looks at, finds other partners. There's so much value to joining that mentorship. And then it is ultimately learn, do, and teach. If you can live by that model in your life, it's amazing. You'll start making money, and then all of a sudden, money becomes the result. You're becoming so much better, and you're becoming a much better investor. You're learning stuff as you're coaching, but you're also helping others out there. You're expanding the community, but you're also expanding your reach, and you're able to learn more from the students. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, because I think that's so powerful. No,
that was incredible right there. I mean, I do have another example. There's a group of four of my students actually that end up doing a deal together. Like, and I help because they didn't all know each other at the time. One of them found the deal, put it together, and I kind of helped connect them. And that was pretty incredible to like see them close the deal and like just be on, I was on a few calls with them to try to help them with some asset management things. And I mean, they're doing all the work, but they just needed some guidance. But for me to see them close the deal and know, I mean, I know it's a good deal. Like I was like, this is a solid deal. So that was incredible.
And that's all sometimes they need. They just need that little extra effort, or they need that little accountability push and saying, well, if Joe's done 1,400 units and Joe's telling me that this deal makes sense and it works, and then Joe's introducing me to this person and that person and putting the collective together, you've just impacted four lives, four families. And those four families are going to continue to do deals. And those four families, how many of those families are going to continue to get impacted? And maybe one of those four becomes a Jake and Gino coach down the road, or just goes out and does her own coaching. That's incredible if you think about the impact that you're creating through learning it and, you know, doing just growing that portfolio. I have one last question before we sign off, and this may be challenging. It may not be. If I'm listening to this and I'm excited, and I want to get into multifamily, what are the first couple of things that I need to do other than joining a mentorship program, or what should I do? Like, you know, I'm excited. I know that my W-2 is a rat race. I don't want to be a janitor. I don't want to be a pizza guy. I don't want to be a pharmaceutical rep. I want to take control of my life in the next 3 to 5 years. I want to be buying multifamily full time. What should they do?
Okay. So this is, I'm going to say this with an asterisk because I don't want to get a call from someone's attorney, but my two cents is you need to take action and you need to buy a deal. Now with that being said, you need to have some level of education. But this is because I did this. So I bought a duplex. I did very little education. That deal wasn't great, but it got me in the game. I wouldn't go buy a 100 unit without getting educated. If you're going to do that, you need to join a group. You need to join Jake and Gino. So, but take action and get educated. Like, you know, do it simultaneously, but don't wait to take action. That's I've learned by, especially if it's your money. Like if you're investing your own money, then just take action. Now, if you're investing, if you're taking limited partners and, you know, you have passive investors, then you definitely need to be educated.
That's a great point. I love that. And I'm going to sum it up into a few words. Education times action equals results. And I love that. Think big, but start small. If you're thinking about getting into multifamily and you want to do a 100-unit apartment complex, but you don't know how to do it or where to do it, and you're thinking like, Joe, I can't raise the capital. Remember, behaviors are belief-driven. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. Anybody listening to this podcast can go out and buy a duplex, especially your first-time home buyer. There's no excuse why you can't. I started out with duplexes up in New York, and then I went to Rochester. I did what Joe did. I just wish I had gotten educated sooner, because I lost a ton of money on other deals, which allowed me to say, hey, time out. I need to figure out what's going on. I'm taking massive action, but I'm taking the wrong massive action. Let me get educated. And then all of a sudden, Lady Luck hits me on the shoulder and says, here's a guy named Jake Stenziano who's going down to Knoxville, Tennessee. Maybe you should partner with him. And if I didn't have the education, I wouldn't have been able to bring value to Jake, who's boots on the ground in that market. So that is, to me, is sage advice. All the lawyers out there, there's a disclaimer. He put an asterisk there. And Joe is usually not the asterisk guy. So I understand why. But it's true, because a lot of us are just – we're always looking for the right time. And I'll share one last story before we sign off. We had Jay Scott on our podcast several times. He's the bigger pockets guy. Excellent dude, really high level. He started flipping homes back in 2008 from his corporate job. Was that the right time to start flipping homes? Probably the worst time in history to start flipping homes, but he didn't know any better. He was ready to go, and he started. The question is, are you ready? If you're ready right now, don't waste time, because believe it or not, brokers are calling you back. Brokers are emailing you. They're texting you. because there's deals out there and there's less people out there. So if you're saying to yourself, well, you know what? I don't know how to talk to brokers. I don't know what scripts to use. I don't have credibility. That's when you join the mentorship. And that's what we talk about, buy right criteria and speaking to brokers and being able to have a website and all that. Don't let that stop you. Just know that now is the time in the cycle to start getting ready, because as deals start progressing along the cycle, there's going to be more opportunities. Are you in front of brokers? Have you created those relationships? Have you started calling sellers off market? Have you been doing property tours? If you wait till the market corrects, then guess what? It's going to be more difficult. So now is the time. Joe, where can the listeners get a hold of you?
You can reach me at my email. It's joe@joeydts.com.
joe@joeydts.com. Right. I'm going to wrap this up real quick because you've heard Joe's story. I mean, he working 11 years as a janitor. I like saying that because it's inappropriate. His wife Tanya is like, Joe, we're not making the money here. So Joe, go out and get a side hustle, which, you know, in my generation is called a second job. I guess side hustle sounds a little more sexy. we'll call it a side hustle. He's got 20 units. He's out there cutting the grass, sweating his ass off, burning his finger in the car, cursing, getting pissed off, grass all over his face, wiping himself up and going, this sucks. I need some help here. I got to scale up. And he does a ton of work. He does a ton of research. He does his due diligence, right? He's a man of action, but he knows that he needs to get educated. He's not going to go out there and just choose anybody. He chooses a group that has results, that has what he wants. But the story doesn't stop there. I think the story begins there because Joe's done a ton of work since then. It's not just joining a group and just checking in. He's done a ton of work. He's put in hundreds and hundreds of hours to become an expert. He's come to tons of boot camps. He's spent thousands of dollars on trips, coming to all the different live events. And most recently, he's even done work on couples, working with his wife, which is truly, truly important, and becoming a Jake and Gino coach, giving back impact and giving back to others, where ultimately he knows in the long run, there's going to be a ton of value and a ton of opportunity from the students that he's helping out. You never know. They may be a partner of his in the future deal. If not, that's okay. Because when you pick up the phone and you say, hey, Joe, we just closed this deal. Thanks. You just saved me 15 grand on a negotiation tip. I didn't know I could close the deal, let alone saving the money. You saved the deal for me, and this deal is going to be a life changer for me. So, Joe, I want to thank you for being on the show. Any final words before we sign off?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity. I love giving back, love the community. Thanks for the time, Gino.
Let's go out there. Let's make it happen. Thanks, everyone.